Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to the path to being 50 and free. I know if you are listening to this podcast that you are feeling stuck in your life. Maybe you're looking for something new. Maybe it's health related. Maybe it's around changing your mindset and finding your purpose. I don't know what it is for you, but I'm so happy you are here. And I'm excited to introduce my guest today, who is one of my dearest friends and who has helped me out through a lot of things in life as well. So I'd like to welcome Karen Hicks. Since 2018, Karen has been in full-time practice as a trauma-aware holistic wellness facilitator. In this role, she considers herself a story catcher, holding space for those who are learning to hold space for themselves. So welcome, Karen. Thank you for being here. And I believe today we're going to talk a little bit about energy. Mm-hmm. What is it? How does it get trapped in our body? What is stuck energy? What does it look like? So welcome, my friend. And
thank you. I'm so excited. And I'm glad that we share a name. And just kind of like a little sound bite on energy. It's the energy of our name and how it's been misused and transformed over the last couple of years in the world of social media. And so the Karen meme has taken on this energy of kind of like an ill-mannered, uneducated, ignorant human being. And it's right, it's like incredibly frustrating because it's not in fun, right? It's very serious. So the energy of it has changed. So I did a post on it last year, I think, or like sometime last year, 2021. Yes, like it's time to reclaim my friggin' name. Like I'm tired of this, right? Like it's just because the energy was so terrible around it. And I just think, why would we do that to somebody's name or just somebody or a group of people? And of course, we do that historically.
I agree. Because I've had people, and I didn't even know that there was a meme out there. Honestly, like I don't pay attention to some of these things. And I had like last year, I had some people come up to me and they're like, oh, what's your name, Karen? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, what? Did I do something? Like, what do you mean you're sorry? I like my name. I take ownership of it. So then I heard about this meme and I looked it up and I'm going, this does not suit my personality at all. Right. Like none of my Karen friends, right?
So yeah. Likewise. Yeah. I think though, I will admit, I will call somebody and if they can't help me, I will say, may I speak with your manager? Because I know that they're powerless to help me to get to where I want to go.
Yes.
So it's like, don't waste my time.
But you have to be a Karen to do that.
Yeah. Everything as energy. So I love the name of this podcast because I'm at the end of that decade. So when I think about the decade of the 50s, where it started, you know, that thing, how it started and, you know, where it is now, it was just around my 50th birthday that I had a mild car accident or collision, right? And it was minor. When I'm driving down the road, though, on my way to my daughter's school, because it's parent-teacher, it's beginning of the school year, September, kind of whatever, I see a car down the road, and I'm thinking the whole time, don't pull out, don't pull out, don't pull out. He friggin' pulled out. Thankfully, I was speeding, whatever, we were in town. So, you know, I hit him, stopped me in my tracks. So I like flipped around the back seat to remind myself that, you know, my girls were not with me. And then once I realized that, I yelled out a huge expletive and then followed with, okay, universe, you stopped me in my tracks. I got to make some changes, kind of where I'm going is not working for me. So, okay, I'm yours, kind of. Like that was the conversation I had in the car.
Yeah.
And I think when I look back, is everything is energy. So our thoughts are energy, our emotion is energy, our beliefs are energy. And one of the things that our body is really good at is is manifesting those beliefs that we don't acknowledge, that are underneath the surface that we don't recognize. And so I was in a place in my world of work and what I was doing that I was very unhappy, loved aspects of it, but was very unhappy, and felt very disempowered, all of those things. So the energy was really not great in my work world. And then I was looking for that stopped me in my tracks kind of thing. And then that's what happened, right? That's what happened. And then that set me on a really incredible pathway for the last 10 years. Mm. Like unbelievable. And where I've gotten more in touch with everything as energy. Mm-hmm. More and more everything is energy. And what I realize is that people will say that they need to create more joy, more happiness, more peace, more this. They have to create. No, you don't.
It's there.
It's there, right? It's there. It's there. We have to walk into it and allow it and receive it. Most of us resist that energy for a million and one different reasons. That's totally not true. The lies we tell about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think the magic in understanding that everything is energy is like, oh, I don't have to create anything. I have to allow myself to receive what already exists.
Yeah. And it's like time, right? It's like, oh, I need to create time in my life. I need to create, like you say, the energy. And it's like, time is there. Joy is everywhere.
Yeah.
On some music, you know, what did you like to dance to as a younger yeah. person, or even as an older person? It doesn't really matter age, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It's there. You don't have yes. to create it. So I love that. I love that.
And I think with stuck energy, how that has shown up for me and how it shows up for my clients and my friends and my family, how I hear it is anytime that we have discomfort, whether it's physical discomfort, emotional discomfort, mental discomfort, and spiritual discomfort, we know that there is some friction. We've bumped up against something that doesn't feel good. And so, I mean, if we ignore it too long, absolutely, I believe it's coming out as a physical issue. It has to go somewhere. It has to manifest somewhere. And I think about kind of like almost like the crisis of consciousness that people experience, that existential kind of question, I think is just energy showing up in such an uncomfortable way in our bodies. And it's like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm doing. Get me out of here, kind of whatever.
Yeah.
And looking external for a solution.
Instead of going within.
And it's totally within. Absolutely. And like I was, and I can so relate to that because I spent so many years projecting my crap externally and blaming, oh, this is in my life because of this person, this thing happened, right? And always blaming it on other people and other situations. And yeah, those things happen. Like we've all had really terrible things happen in our lives. I don't know anybody who's immune to that.
Yeah. And it's always been easier to blame. Well, I know for myself, totally. Easier to blame. It's everybody else's. Couldn't be my fault.
Right. Ever. Yes.
Right? But yeah.
Yeah. You know, yes. And, you know, the other night might have even been last night, I guess I lose track of days, you know, having a conversation with a client is that we create a myth about who we are and that carries an energy with it.
Yes.
Right. And the myth of who we are is something like just exactly what you just said. It's like, I don't want to face myself. So I'm going to project out. And I'm not going to face myself because I've created a story in my head that carries with it a lot of energy that it's going to be too hard. The work is going to be too hard, too uncomfortable, too painful, and I won't be able to manage.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that from people. Absolutely.
Yeah. And of course, we're going to continue to believe that story, mm-hmm. the more we avoid ourselves, the more that we project out and blame everybody for what's going on in our world. And I want to differentiate that between structures and systems that exist, perhaps to aid people in creating their stories of disempowerment, right? Because we have structures and systems in place. And it was reading Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl that helped me to understand that even in the most horrendous stories that we can find meaning and purpose.
Yeah.
Right. So we can't, I don't want to be defined by all the shit that happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the shit that happened to my loved ones. I don't want that. Right. Because that's not, that energy of that will keep me stuck in a world and a belief system that people are terrible. Right. That they're just going to hurt me. They're just going to want this, want that. Like, that's not going to get me to where I need to be in my world.
Yeah. And we have to take ownership of things. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you know, everybody has their story, but do you want to live in your story? Or do you want to make a change and go, okay, I'm done with this story, right? And people don't even realize, well, it's like, well, it's not a story. It's my real life. And it's like, I know this is what's happened to you.
Right.
But we can create so many different things. And it's really explaining to people what this story means,
yes.
Right? But I know for myself, I was stuck in my story in the past. And I knew I had to make a change because I got tired of living in my past. And I didn't even know, I mean, half the stuff I know now that I didn't know then, it's like, holy, and still learning. But you just have to get to a point of like, are you done yet? Because if you want to create that life that you keep talking about that you want, I want a bigger life, I want, you know, to find romance, I want this, I want that. Well, change has to start with you, right?
Yes.
And that person that it's like, okay, when do you want to change that story? When do you want to change that energy?
Right. So what was, when you look back about that period of stuckness in your life and those times where you felt stuck, because no one's cutting us open and seeing stuck, right?
No.
That's the other thing, right? That's how like it's energy. It's like,
yes.
We're not seeing stuck, but it's like, oh, but it's there because I feel it. Oh, but I don't see it. No, it's because it's energy and it forms in our bodies and it creates upset or pains, aches, distress, discomfort. So let me ask you, in those periods of stuckness, what was the energy of that for you?
Heavy, heavy. I just really had a hard time of letting go. And it was literally when I turned 50, right? And that it was like my marriage ended and, you know, he moved on and I had a hard time letting go. And it was just heavy, heavy energy. And I just was like, frustrated and going through all these different emotions. And I remember in 2018, I went, I got to go on a healing journey. I don't even know what that looks like. Like, not a clue. I just knew I needed to heal something, right? I've had cancer in my past, right? And, you know, I feel like that's a whole other subject. But, you know, it's just like, I didn't want to get cancer again. You know, I choose to not get cancer again, right?
Yeah.
And I choose to heal my body because I started understanding about the stuck energy, right? And how it manifests in disease, right? But yeah, and it was just heavy and awful. And I'm like, and all my life I've always said, there's got to be more to life than what I'm living. And I still say that today. There's definitely more to life than what I'm living.
Absolutely.
That's why I keep growing and expanding.
Yes.
And,
yes.
So
yeah. Absolutely. And I still have, like, I'll have limiting beliefs until my transition from this, you know, plane of existence or death or whatever you want to call it, I'm still going to have that, you know, because I, like, I'm a spiritual being having a nervous system experience. It's a nervous system experience because if we don't take care of our energy, our nervous system will run the show and good Lord, look out. Right.
Yeah.
Look out if our nervous system, if we allow that to kind of run the show.
Yeah. And what? Yeah, exactly. And one of the hats I wear is, you know, as you know, as I'm a massage therapist. Right. And the stuff, you know, like everything I hear from my clients and, you know, everything I've learned and I do treat a lot of people with injuries and chronic pain and stuff like that. And I know, right, that it what's happening, you know, the stuck emotions and, you know, how we can live in our story, right? You know, and then now that I'm into the coaching and stuff, it's like helping them to kind of understand and take things to a different level. But people have to, it becomes their identity.
Yes. And right? Our identity.
Right. So it's really helping, you know, like with your expertise and all of our expertise that, you know, we have to help people change that identity. Right.
Well, and yeah.
Yeah. And again, change the story. Right.
Because they think their identity is truth. And all it is a made up story. Like it's fiction. We're all fiction writers. So right. True. And kind of how I use this analogy a lot. When somebody thinks they know the truth of who they are or anybody else or any other situation. And man, we love to think we know the truth, which is also an illusion and a bit of a myth.
Yeah.
But I use the analogy of going into a museum and you walk into a room and there's a sculpture in the middle of the room and you stand there and you gaze at it. You could gaze at it for days. And someone says to you, tell me about the sculpture. Explain it to me.
Mm.
But also in the room are like three other people. Maybe you're in the south position. Someone's at the east position, the north position, the west position. And someone's asking them, tell me the story of this sculpture.
Mm.
They will likely describe something different because they all have a different perspective.
Yes.
Right. So that's with identity. We think we know who we are because we look at ourselves in the mirror. We look at our life and we think, oh, that's all there is to us. This is who I am. It's like move, like shift over a foot.
Yeah. Like,
can you see yourself from another way? As a Reiki practitioner, and I, as you know, like I do individual coaching work, and as a Reiki practitioner, like I cannot make up my experience as a Reiki practitioner when I'm with somebody and I have my hands like over their ears or their eyes or their body or whatever, and like my hands are being pushed away from their body, or that I feel like my hands being sucked in. Or I kind of feel like I want to cry or dizzy, right? Stepping kind of into their energy, recognizing it as not mine. It's not my identity. It's the identity that they have in that moment, and just kind of asking kind of what's going on for you. And then I hear their stories.
Yeah.
I hear the story of who they think they are. And the grief, the grief energy that is kind of attached to that story that keeps them stuck, that I can't do this because.
Yeah.
If I do this thing or say this thing, I'm going to be rejected. And that creates a whole other energy that we avoid like the plague because we all want to belong. That's human. There's so many different ways that identity will show up, and it shows up in our actions, it shows up in our energy, it shows up in our chakras, it shows up on your massage table.
Exactly. And I hear a lot of people say, you know, I can't do this until. It's like, well, who told you you can't do that until, right?
Yeah.
And I know I used to fall in that, right? Oh, I can't do this until I do this, this, and this. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Who told me I can't, right? Yeah. So it's very interesting as we start going along on this journey of, you know, like the finding Waldo, finding us, right?
That
it's like there's all these programs, and it doesn't matter whether you come from the best family or the worst family. That doesn't matter. It's just whatever our mind has taken on. And we start to learn later, if we choose to go down this path, of what makes us tick. And it's like, wait a minute, but I was taught that. But this is how I really feel, like our own truth, I guess, or whatever, right? That it's just reprogramming this beautiful mind of ours.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like as we're sitting here chatting, all emotions have a frequency, right? So emotions like anger, sadness, fear, guilt, frustration, they're kind of at the bottom of the frequency chart and they vibrate at lower rates of vibration. They're heavy, right? Yes. And then the higher frequency emotions like love, peace, fear, or sorry, not fear, love, peace, acceptance, joy, all of those things, enlightenment is probably the top one. They vibrate at much higher rates. And I think that when I think about those kind of heavier emotions, those are disablers of a freedom of living. And as we start changing our emotional vibration, our energetic vibration to stay in the upper echelon, so to speak, from that vibrational scale, those are enablers for a freedom of living.
Right, right. I like the way you said that. Explained it. Yes, absolutely.
It just came now. It's like, wait a minute. We've got disablers and we have enablers.
Right. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Love it. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I would love to ask a question about the elephant.
Oh, yeah.
If that's okay, right? Unless there's something else you want to share.
No.
I keep admiring that picture. I'm like, oh, the elephant in the room.
Elephants
are very powerful too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They are.
A little bit about that.
So my oldest daughter is a huge fan of elephants. She loves elephants. And this, when she lives in Ottawa now, she lived here, that was in her room. So when she moved to Ottawa, her first place had cement. The walls were cement. So great for fire safety, but not so great for hanging art and stuff like that. So we decided the elephant would stay here. That was fine. So when she moved, and my office used to be my younger daughter's room, she moved into that room. And so I claimed this bedroom, like now it's my office. And the elephant came with me.
I love it.
And then it became when I'm working with folks, mostly everybody says, oh, I love the elephant. So it is like the elephant in the room and the elephant in the room. Like, so it's both literal and figurative, but there's an energy about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's an energy that's calm for me. And also, like, I hear it from clients as well. It's calm. Mm. It's like in an animate object and people feel energy from it.
Right?
It's calm. It's wise. So when it's over my shoulder, so I will glance at it during session and it reminds me about wisdom.
Mm, I see that for sure.
It reminds me to be graceful. It reminds me to maybe move slower.
Ah, okay.
Right? So now my daughter, she has moved somewhere else and she could easily hang this in her new place. However, we've decided that I'm the new mom. I've adopted the elephant. The elephant is staying here. And I couldn't imagine that not having it because there is an energy about it that just is lovely. So that's the story of the elephant.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I have my signature talk. Signature question, because we only have a few minutes left.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, what does freedom mean to you? And not the dictionary, as you know, right? So what does freedom mean to you?
So today, freedom means, because I've been thinking about this, because there's different ways that you could plunk freedom in, whether it's freedom of movement, freedom of expression, freedom of, you know, all kinds of things. And what's becoming more important to me about freedom is a freedom of thought without fear of reprisal.
Oh, I like that.
Without fear of rejection, so that I can be free. Freedom to me is like the freedom in my mind, so that those bars, those imaginary bars, that if I say these things, think these things or whatever, I will somehow get into trouble or be rejected. And I think when I do that, when we do that, we reject ourselves at a soul level. So freedom for me is that connecting fully to spirit, to your soul, and expressing that in the most loving way possible. Like remove those bars. And so it's freedom of thought, but a place of grace, from a place of grace and love.
Oh, beautiful. I love that. Thank you for sharing. And how does one get a hold of you?
Oh, one gets a hold of me at karenhicks.ca. On Instagram, I'm Karen Hicks Wellness. And you can also text me, give me a call at 416-523-8738. And I do Reiki at Timeless Harmony Spa, where you do massage. So that's also another way.
In Newmarket.
In Newmarket, yes. Yeah, yes, of course.
Yeah, Newmarket on Drooms. But, thank you, Karen. I always love chatting with you.
Yes.
And I know you and I can talk forever. So many. And do you have one quick tip before we wrap it up? Because I think we only have about 30 seconds.
One quick tip. Breathe from your heart. Get into the space of your heart and your life will change. Breathe from your heart. Imagine your breath coming in and out of your heart or chest area. The heart holds the truth of who we are. Stay there. Be there. Thank you so much. We could talk a long time.
We will do another one. Don't you worry. Anyway, thank you again, Karen. Always a pleasure. And again, follow Karen on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, thank you so much, Karen. I love your name.
Oh, I love your name too. I think we'll keep it.
I am.
I don't listen to these memes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And we will see you again soon.
I'll talk to you soon. I'll see you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the Path to Being 50 and Free show with your host, Karen Timer, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join her next time to continue learning new ways to claim your life of joy and stop letting life pass you by. Your path to freedom starts here. To work with Karen, visit 50andfree.ca. That's FIFTYANDFREE.ca. Make a decision and start now.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.